across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On a, shall we call it, frosty Wednesday morning, February 28th. Yeah, it looks frosty out the window. If you're actually standing outside, it's more like a Mack truck is hitting you with those northwest winds and wind chills. And Brittany Merlot is going to tell us about it in just a moment. First, just to tell you that coming up this hour, Christian Phelps from the Wisconsin Public Education Network is going to talk about Wisconsin Public Schools Week, the significance of it, how it is being marked, and the ongoing threats to a good public school education in the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to Todd Alba as well. We'll hear from Senator Tammy Baldwin in just a moment, all about the endangerment of in vitro fertilization because of a recent right-wing court ruling. And we get to talk about spring training baseball as well. We have to talk about spring training baseball because something has to remind us that spring is a-coming, and Brittany Merlot is here to tell us about today's winter and this weekend's spring, starting to think about summer already. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I'm actually tired this morning because I was up yesterday watching tornadoes head towards my hometown in Illinois. Yikes. Last night.
Okay. Right?
Crazy to see all the seasons in just 24 hours.
It really is. Now, Robin Tigerton tells us it's partly cloudy and 12, a 57-degree drop from 69 at 5 o'clock yesterday to midnight to 6 a.m. The roads were slippery. He went from 69 at 5 o'clock last night to 12 degrees at 6 a.m. today with slippery roads in Shawano County. And I would imagine that's the case pretty much every place.
Yes, yeah, so the roads are not the best towards Green Bay and the Fox Valley, and also closer you are to the lake shore because some of that snow is still flying around recently. But now it's moving over Lake Michigan and headed on out of here. In fact, we're starting to see some sunshine peek out into the western areas, and that will continue to move its way east, and we'll all see some sunshine by this afternoon. But we're still battling the brutal winds. They're gusting up to 30 to 35 miles per hour, and they're going to stay strong until at least around lunch. That's when everything's going to be changing. The winds will start to calm and the sun will start to peak out. But the temperatures are not going to be what we've been feeling recently. They are going to hit highs into the teens to low 20s throughout the state. And it's not going to feel that way because those winds are still remaining a bit breezy, even into the evening hours. Not as bad, but still creating wind chills to where it does feel anywhere from 10 to 20 degrees colder than the actual temperature. And our blood's not thick enough for this. We've been sitting in 70s yesterday.
Quick question, though. What is it about lunch that is slowing down the wind? I must have missed that part in. Or is that just a timing coincidence thing?
That's just the timing coincidence. Everything's going to be calming down.
Just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing
something.
We all
know lunch is the natural enemy of wind.
I saw that someplace. So now let's look ahead how it's going to get really nice by week's end.
Yes, it is. So in fact, by tomorrow, a lot of the state is going to be tapping the 40s again. And then as we push into the weekend, we are looking at Friday, the 50s. Saturday, 60s, and repeating that on Sunday as well, before we maybe get a little spike in temperatures again right before the next system strikes. That looks like it's going to head our way potentially Sunday night into Tuesday. Kind of a repeat of what we just saw.
I don't know how many shows you have to appear on for live hits like this, but I hope we're continuing our effort to make this one the most exasperating for you.
Greg,
did you hear that? The best.
Yeah.
Greg's speechless. Greg's like I don't
speechless. Brittany is not the word I'm thinking of right now.
Uh-oh. Come on, shall we? Brittany Merlot.
Well, we'll see you later today on the show, Brittany. I'm Matt and Air on Air.
Oh.
Or will we?
The other best show that you're on throughout the course of the day.
Can I have a favorite morning and afternoon? It's totally different.
We're 10 a.m. to noon, Brittany.
That's lunch. That's that when the wind
stops.
Hour.
When the wind stops.
I feel I'm betrayed.
Yeah, let's.
I'm at lunch.
Brittany's backing out slowly, like Homer Simpson into the hedges. Thank you, Brittany. See you later. Spring is coming, and did you know Milwaukee Brewers spring training baseball can be heard on one of our Civic Media stations? It's true. This afternoon, you can hear the Brewers taking on the San Diego Padres. 2 o'clock is the broadcast time on News from the Center, WRCE Richland Center, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. We did not get to all the national day calendar stuff in our last segment, so let me tell you that I did, in fact, have pancakes this morning for National Pancake Day. It's National Science Day. It's National Snowshoe Day. It is Customized Wheel and Tire Day, Chocolate Souffle Day, Floral Design Day, and International Repetitive Strain Injury Awareness Day, which, I don't know, Greg, maybe Carpal Tunnel Day was already taken, that we had to go with the longer name here. But
we want our own day. Ow.
Yeah. So if any of those impact you, hope you enjoy the day and make the most of it. Senator Tammy Baldwin spoke yesterday on Capitol Hill about in vitro fertilization, IVF. And, you know, Greg, you've been following this along with Jane and all of the other shows across Civic Media. The way that this Alabama Supreme Court ruling equating fertilized eggs with children for legal purposes, you know, what that threatens to do to the estimated 20% of births out there that are assisted by IVF, I'm sure callers to Jane's show and everybody else are no less troubled by just how extreme that ruling is and what it could do for, you know, women and families in Wisconsin.
Well, you take that piece. Yes, absolutely. That is the main problem with it, and we talked to Dr. Lyerly about it, but also It's the Republicans who just can't seem to wrap their head around the fact that IVF is not some evil thing. Like, there are people out there of all stripes, of all places, of all voting styles who need to use this to have a baby, and when confronted on it, they're like, like Tommy Tuberville's answer was magnificently stupid.
Oh, well, I mean, that just tells me Tommy Tuberville opened his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just like, well, I guess we'll have to have the conversation later. No, now.
Yeah. So yesterday, Senator Baldwin was joined by Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, Washington Senator Patty Murray, and others to talk about their Access to Family Building Act to codify under federal law the right to access assisted reproductive technology services, including IVF. And so for the next 90 seconds or so, here's some of what Senator Tammy Baldwin had to say, starting with a theme that basically says, you know, we tried to tell you this was coming.
Leave women alone. Unfortunately, Republicans don't seem to get that message. When Dobbs was decided, millions of women were stripped of their reproductive rights. At that time, Republicans said we were being alarmist when we said the ramifications of this decision would go far beyond abortion care. They said we were being dramatic when we raised that birth control might be on the chopping block. They said that we were overreacting when I fought to pass the Respect for Marriage Act to protect same-sex and interracial couples. And they said that we had nothing to worry about when we insisted the right to IVF was in jeopardy. Now we know we were right to ring the alarm. Exactly what we have been warning about has sadly become reality for millions, and the consequences are nothing short of dire. In recent days, I have seen people from across the political spectrum claim to support this essential family planning tool. This is welcome news, especially coming from some of the 125 congressional Republicans who co-sponsored legislation that could ban IVF. Well, now the rubber meets the road. Congress has a chance to show if they think that every family should have the freedom to decide when and how to build their family. I know where I stand. I support women's and families' rights to control their destiny without interference from the government or politicians.
there's Senator Tammy Baldwin talking to again, Greg, it just seems to make sense that every time that she laid out that she was taking an action or a position and people were saying, you're overreacting. Again, you just have to point at Dobbs. There's a straight line from the Dobbs decision to what could happen to IVF because of this Alabama court. So when she says we tried to warn you, you know, she has earned that right, unfortunately, to say, I told you so.
I mean, honestly, she is a very composed individual. I love listening to her speak, but I would be 1,000 times angrier. I just the fact alone that, you know, just trying to make the point. You make this decision in the Supreme Court, it's going to have a ripple effect on all these other things. And to be told, you're just being emotional and too dramatic. I don't even know what to do with that.
No. And for those folks like, you know, former President Trump and others who are now scrambling to say, you know, no, we support IVF. In fact, in Alabama, the legislature is fast-tracking a measure that carves out an exception for IVF. Although it's only a short term, it only lasts through the election. So they can't even commit to support for IVF past Election Day. They are blatantly, nakedly saying, well, we're just going to use this issue to try to convince voters that we're not who we actually are, who we've been all along. We're going to try to tell you we're for IVF. We're going to tell you that of course, we're not going after same-sex marriage. You know, these are the same people that said Roe v. Wade is settled law. And it turned out they were lying all of that time. So they have not earned any trust when they tell you that they would support ongoing protection for IVF. Now, some sports at 7:18. The Bucks have now won all three of their games since the All-Star break, absolutely destroying the Charlotte Hornets last night, 123-85 for their most lopsided victory of the season. The Bucks are now 6-7 since the arrival of Doc Rivers. The Bucks will play the Hornets again, this time in Charlotte tomorrow. Then they're off to Chicago to play the Bulls on Friday. The Badger men's basketball team lost at Indiana 74-70. They return home to play 13th-ranked Illinois on Saturday. And the Marquette men's basketball team will be hosting Providence tonight, nationally televised on FS1 starting at 6 o'clock. More news headlines to be unpacked on the way, right after we remind you that wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota. Back in a bit. The number one song this day in 1970 by Simon and Garfunkel. So while we're talking about number one songs and hits and musicians here, Greg, there was a story that I didn't get to before taking the break. You can find it over at upnorthnewswi.com. We ran it back on, let's see, February 16th is the original publishing date. Top 10 Wisconsin musicians and their hits. And again, there can't possibly be a single right answer to this, but somebody gave it a try, some website someplace that we passed along. Based on where you are, I'm sure you can guess one or two names that might be on the list of top 10 Wisconsin musicians.
I could name three.
Okay, go for it.
Four. I can name four. Okay. Les Paul.
Les Paul is number one on the list with the song Lover. There you go. I should have got you the Family Feud bell. Number one answer. Do you want to pass or play?
It's the best I got right now.
All right. You're going to play. What else? What else do you guess here?
Steve Miller.
Steve Miller's number two on the list with the Joker. Look at you. Why do I have a feeling he's got the list in front of him?
Go ahead, don't.
Okay. All right. What's next?
I'm just cool like that. The Violent Femmes.
The Violent Femmes are number three on the list. Good work out of you. You really want to take it?
I guess number four. I feel like they're just not big enough, but like I was going to say, the Bodines?
you know, the Bodines are not on this list.
What?
And I would have put them on there. Yeah. All right, you want to guess one or two more? Have you exhausted your
musicians from Wisconsin? That's the thing, is like Wisconsin doesn't really celebrate, like, we don't really celebrate the musicians who are from here. Maybe go for it. Just tell me.
But remember, we got all kinds of genres in here, as you'll see as well. Number four is Al Jarreau.
Yeah, Al.
And we're in this love together. Yeah. Let's see. I was going to give the songs they're most associated with.
Yeah.
So Les Paul was Lover. Steve Miller was The Joker. Mm-hmm. Violent Femmes, Blister in the Sun.
Uh-huh.
Al Jarreau, We're in This Love Together. Five, Bon Iver, from out here in Western Wisconsin.
Yep. I made him laugh once.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was up in Eau Claire doing a show, and he was in the back room working on some new music, and he came and watched me do a set, and the guy goes, he liked you. I was like, yeah, he did.
That's great.
I made that sad man laugh.
I am not familiar with number six on the list, Felice Bryant from Milwaukee and Bye Bye Love.
Oh, Felice. Felice and Boudreaux Bryant, they are writers. Bye Bye Love is the Everly Brothers' first hit.
Felice and
Boudreaux are responsible for half a billion records sold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Number seven, I wasn't sure if you'd get this or not, since, again, it's right down the road from you in West Allis, Liberace.
Oh, that's right. I always think he's from Appleton, but that doesn't matter. It's Wisconsin. But yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. Number eight, Bruce Vig from Viroqua.
Yes, he is the drummer of Garbage. He also produced Nevermind by Nirvana, as well as many other seminal early 90s alternative records.
I'm so glad I got you here. I just got a list. You actually have some depth to this. You know, I'm over here being a mile, or you being a mile wide, and I'm over here an inch deep. Woody Herman. And I said all kinds of genres. The Woodchopper's Ball. There you go. And number 10, Jerry Harrison of Milwaukee for Life During Wartime. Which I assume we're talking Heads.
Yes, indeed. The very man. Okay. I always forget he's from Wisconsin as well.
Yeah. And so who did we say was missing? The Bodines were missing from there.
They just were not as big. They didn't have no disrespect to the Bodines at all.
Right.
But
yeah,
when you're talking about those individuals you named, they had bigger hits.
I don't think they would disagree either. So again, you can look for that list on our website with many thanks. Next time we put this list together, we're going to let Greg write a paragraph about each of these.
These are all good people.
Yes, and he knows his stuff.
Yep.
So we're looking at the prospect of a government shutdown. Oh no, this is not a rerun. This is news on February 28th. It is possible that, you know, we are, you know, 48, 72 hours away from a government shutdown yet again. Speaker Mike Johnson is feeling a lot of pressure from other congressional leaders and the president to get some more aid to Ukraine to fend off the Russian invasion and also avoid a government shutdown. But he's got members of his own party who are frankly rooting for a government shutdown because somehow they think that that would extract some severe cuts. It wouldn't. It would, even if they tried, every time that has been attempted through a government shutdown, Republicans have come out looking terrible. And I took a snap here of some of the demands by the House Freedom Caucus. So this is the farthest right group of House Republicans. And they say they're going to go ahead with a government shutdown unless they get some of these things here. They want to reduce the salary of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to $0, because that's useful. They want to get rid of the Pentagon's reimbursement program for members of the military who have to travel out of state for abortion care. They want to prohibit funding for gun safety measures like red flag laws. They actually want to ban the government from making it easier to remove guns from people who are judged by a court to be a danger to themselves or others. They want to defund taxpayer gender-affirming care. They want to defund any climate change actions. Again, coming back to our last hour with Melissa Baldoff, you have a growing number of Republicans in Congress who do want to take action on climate, who do want to grow jobs in a cleaner and greener economy. but the House Freedom Caucus wants to defund any of these climate change actions. Here's one that comes right out of Wisconsin: prohibit all funding for diversity and inclusion training. Again, this is something that is being embraced by corporate America and continues to grow in order to have a workforce that is not only more diverse, but more understanding, can work together better, can be more efficient, and can address, of course, from some longstanding institutional racism and inequalities that have existed for generations. And just as progress is being made on that, House Republicans are saying, we want to defund all that, much like Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature were able to, you know, blackmail their way to reducing support for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs through the University of Wisconsin system. And of course, House Republicans demanding to defund the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, the UN Human Rights Council. All of the conspiracy theories are out there, of course. And then last but not least on this list is not just to not have any more student loan debt forgiveness, but to ban it. To make it impossible for the federal government at some point to say, we are going to forgive a certain part of student loan debt. Maybe it's for military service. Maybe it's for teaching in underserved areas. Maybe it's an economic stimulus measure where all that money is no longer going back to the government, but is going into local economies instead. And Republicans are demanding that you ban student loan forgiveness, or they're going to shut down the government and hurt a whole lot of people. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days. Christian Phelps talks about Wisconsin Public Schools Week next on Up North News Radio. And pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water. Have ourselves a new phone number for you to call us or text us. That number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app to call or text the show. So I wanted to again thank Jerry from East Troy for giving us a hello, just sending us a quick text. That's one way to get in touch with us. Let us know what you're doing. But there's also Ellen over here who jumped on one of the Facebook pages just to say good morning. Ellen, we appreciate that so much. Thank you for being here as well. Again, the number is 855-75-CIVIC. Just let us know where you're listening from. And let us know what you're doing as you're listening to Up North News Radio. Are you getting kids ready for school? Are you getting ready for work? Are you retired? We'd love to get more of a, you know, draw a bead on what our listeners are doing and make sure that we make the show work for you as best we can. And it doesn't matter, frankly, what you're doing, working, retired, otherwise. If you're in Wisconsin, you need a great public school network statewide to have a strong state economy. It's simple as that. It doesn't mean there isn't a role for private schools. That's not the point. The point is to have a strong public education system. And that is what's behind Wisconsin Public Schools Week, which is being celebrated this weekend. And so in this week's homeroom segment, Christian Phelps is with us to talk about the Wisconsin Public Education Network and Public Schools Week. Christian, good to have you here.
Thanks. Good morning. I heard before that you said it's also several other things, including National Pancake Day. So I think I might celebrate both today after the show.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. Absolutely not.
That one I can do simultaneously, but happy Public Schools Week to you.
Thank you. And thank you, Tony, who's listening up in Ashland, putting a comment on that he's getting the kids ready for school as well. Again, something that is just so essential for the state. Well, you don't need me to say it again. You work with the Public Education Network. So when somebody says to anybody there, they hear what you do, they hear about the network, and they say, well, what's the big deal? Why do we have to talk all the time about having a strong public education system? Doesn't it really go back to the very roots of Wisconsin statehood?
Yeah, exactly. And I think Public Schools Week is fun because there's a lot of things to talk about all year that it can almost become difficult to remember that at the end of the day, what we're really doing is just celebrating the value of children, young people, and students in the state of Wisconsin. And the reason that I do what I do is basically because public education is so fundamental. I mean, every time I care about something and look into what I can do to work on that thing or improve the landscape of that thing or promote justice for the people who are being injusticed in a status quo, it always just leads back to public education, and it leads back to the earliest days of somebody's life and the first 18 years and what type of educational landscape they have access to and the type of respect that their educators are getting. And so setting aside one of the weeks of the year to just really take a step back and look at what are we doing as advocates in Wisconsin? We all have a role, even if we aren't current, you know, parents of school age kids or working in a school at this exact moment. We all have a role to advocate for the people who are in our public schools, because like you said, they're the cornerstone of our communities and the cornerstone of our economies. And none of us can imagine, I don't think, the sort of best case scenario world and community and state that we want to live in without a strong and robust and equitable public school system. So this week we celebrate the public schools that we have now, and we commit to, you know, advocating to make them what they really should be and what our kids deserve for them to be.
Is there a lot going on for the week itself, or is it more about just calling attention? You know, for example, one of your colleagues, Tessa Maglio, has a wonderful opinion piece that we've put up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. But how much of it is advocacy? How much of it is any kind of events that might be going on?
Yeah, you'll be seeing things all week, and we already have. I mean, a lot of the time, what this is just a week for people to do things at the local level. So, our Facebook page, Wisconsin Public Education Network, the handles at Wisconsin Networks spelled out, is sharing things happening all over the state where people are, you know, just writing notes of appreciation at their public school and having students write out why they love their public school. I mean, some of those kindergarten through third grade kids are writing the most adorable and sincere notes about why they value their teachers and their friends and their public school setting. So a lot of it is just local level action. It's actually a national week, and there are organizations all over the country who are celebrating public schools this week and kind of doing what I said, setting aside some time to look at the value of their public schools and sort of take that big picture view and appreciate the role that they play in their communities. But there are also events happening here in Wisconsin, and on our end, Friday is the big day. We're going to sort of cap off Public Schools Week in Friday in Madison by having a day of action at the Capitol, because we really believe that appreciation for public schools shouldn't be surface and sort of trite, but it should actually be put into action by giving people some tools to really say, how do we appreciate our public schools and what do we need to advocate for in order for them to you know, have the resources that they really need. So we'll be at the Capitol on Friday, and we'll also celebrate 10 years of Wisconsin Public Education Network in the evening. That's also in Madison on Friday. So people who can make it to Madison on Friday, there's a lot to do. It'll be a fun day. It'll be a positive day. Appreciate your public schools at the Capitol, but also celebrate sort of the growth of our movement for public education advocacy over the last 10 years and kind of think about how can we really make a difference and move forward at an even faster rate in the years to come.
And truly, if you go to their Facebook page, just look up Wisconsin Network. You don't need Wisconsin Public Education Network. Just put in Wisconsin Network and you'll get to it, and you'll see photo after photo of people expressing their appreciation for public schools. Unfortunately, this is not going to be an all positive segment, because there is perhaps as great a threat as ever before to public education. A lot of people obviously will go back to the beginnings of Act 10 in 2011, and the hostility, the outright hostility. And you mentioned the word respect for public schools, and obviously there has been such a high degree of disrespect. In a normal time, having a day of action at the state capitol on March 1st would be a perfectly normal expectation. And yet the state assembly has, they claim, they've already gone home for the year. They're about to start a 10-month paid vacation, even though they're full-time legislators, and they say that they are done. So there won't be assembly reps in the Capitol. The state Senate is still in session technically, but they might only have one or a couple of session days left before they call it quits for the year. Faced with that kind of environment that's out there, Christian, how would you assess the threats to public education right now versus what it could look like now that fair maps have been put in place for these legislative districts?
The state is dire. I mean, it's bad. And sentiment around public schools and sort of morale around what the landscape is like in our current reality in the doors of our public schools are really, really low. And we're really being deliberate about celebrating Public Schools Week this year because people need it. And we have experienced just a high level of exhaustion because people are operating in public schools that have been defunded every year relative to inflation for the last 16 years in a row, and then basically gaslit by leadership and being told that that's not true, even though numbers don't lie and it is true. And people are running out of the resources to do what they need. And on top of all that, while our communities love our public schools and support the educators that sort of do what they do so well for the children of Wisconsin, legislative leadership and political leaders and special interest groups have really kind of launched a rhetorical campaign that undercuts respect for educators. And I think that's what made Tessa's piece on your website so powerful to celebrate this week, because she's a former teacher and understands very well the intricacies of trying to work in a profession that you love, but in a landscape that's making it almost impossible to do that. So the week is really important. And I think it's very symbolically fitting that the assembly already gaveled out for the year, because they weren't doing anything good for public schools anyway when they were in session. I mean, we saw over 1,000 bills introduced in this session, and I can hardly think of one off the top of my head that had anything good for public schools in it. Almost none of it matched what the public sentiment around public schools in Wisconsin is. People advocated for the state budget last year in overwhelming numbers to support catching up to inflation and targeting resources where they're needed most in public schools, in places like special ed and English language learning programs and students in poverty. And the legislature just said, absolutely not. We will not respect democracy and we will not do that. And they didn't. And so, as frustrating as it is that the assembly has already left in February for the year, we weren't seeing any positive bills come out of that chamber anyway. So,
and frankly, and that has snowballed to the extent where you had fewer than half of the school referendums that were on the ballot last week be approved by voters, because, again, they have been, as you said, gaslit over the years to say that school districts are getting record funding. And again, we have to make that point of, you know, if you get a $1 increase, yeah, your funding's been increased, but mm-hmm. inflation, higher costs, enrollment, you name it, it's all happening out there. So when you say you're being very proactive on your messaging this week, that certainly has to continue all the way to the, what is it, close to 90 referendums coming up on April 2nd?
Yeah, exactly. And great. Thank you so much for mentioning that, Pat, because, we've heard a lot about things like a historic investment in education in the last budget. And it was historic. It was historic in its massive, record-breaking, standalone giveaway to private schools with public funds. But what's also historic is the multi-billion dollar surplus funds in Madison that are just not being used. So I don't blame local level voters for feeling like they've been asked over and over and over to invest their public funds in public schools, because they have. They've paid taxes for years to the state, and they've also paid property taxes to local public schools. But when our legislative leaders refuse to actually direct those dollars to public schools, the reality is that educators and kids are the ones who suffer. So right now, we're in a position where local taxpayers have to go back to the ballot box and decide to fill that gap. It is important that they do so, because while we talk about inflation and the raw dollar amounts, the important thing is actually student need. and what students deserve. And that metric cannot get lost in these conversations. Public Schools Week is a time to look at what students are doing, which is amazing. The kids of Wisconsin are incredible. So are the educators of Wisconsin. And the question is not, what's the rate of inflation? Or how many dollars are in Madison? The question is, what do those people need and how do we get it to them? So like you said, April's another opportunity to do that. With fairer maps, perhaps in the legislative elections of November, we might end up in a 2025 budget cycle where legislative leaders actually do have to listen to us. That's why we're spending so much time being loud this year, so that we can make really clear where Wisconsin stands. And as frustrating as all of this is, we're seeing a lot of hope. Public Schools Week is a positive time. People are celebrating the great things that are happening even in this political landscape. And if we can really be loud for the rest of the year about how much people care about this issue, I see no reason why we can't improve the landscape dramatically in 2025. But people have to fill that gap in the meantime. Kids don't get a second chance. If they're in first grade right now, this is the time to invest in them. They're not going to get a do-over at that.
Exactly. And so even though the maps have changed, the districts have changed, one of the things that the Wisconsin Public Education Network has done, if you head over to their website, wisconsinnetwork.org, you can click on something that's called the Accountability in Action Hub, where you can see the actual fiscal impact of this move to privatize schools on a district by district basis. So you can see basically how much money your legislator is sending out of their district to go into private rather than public schools. One of the many things being done by the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And Christian Phelps, thank you again so much for telling us all about it. Have fun with the rest of the events this week. Thanks for being part of this week's Homeroom, and we'll talk to you again really soon.
Yeah, we will. Thanks for having me. And I hope to see some people in Madison to celebrate Public Schools Week with us on Friday.
Sounds great. Thank you. Again, big day of action at the Capitol there, and learn more at wisconsinnetwork.org. When we come back, Todd Alba will be along of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. And before I forget, we did get a text that reminded us we forgot Cheap. Well, we didn't forget Cheap Trick on the list. It just wasn't on there. So this is a list that's still very much in progress. So help us out on that with your texts and your phone calls. Back with Todd Alba next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Deliver me from the days of old.
Yeah, this was the anniversary of which U2 album? I didn't put it in front of me, Greg.
War.
Gosh darn it. Thank you. So
my favorite U2 record.
Have that come in. I mean, I tell you what, Todd Alba, Greg Bach has been just a musical wizard for me today. Thank goodness.
he's fantastic.
I mean, I've just been playing guitar since I was 7 and been in band, so I filled my all those years the boys were kissing girls in high school. I was sitting there in my bed going, I gotta learn this guitar solo.
Yes, U2 released their third album, War, on this day in 1983. It was their first to sell over 1 million copies in the U.S. I was mentioning to Greg earlier that yesterday I listened back to you filling in so admirably for me, and thank you again for doing that, you and Chad tag teaming. But
our
that
pleasure.
You two talked about maybe doing the show from a bowling alley one of these days, that you both bowled right? a lot in your younger years. And could anything sound more Wisconsin than that?
I think it'd be fantastic. I mean, you know, do it like right at the start of the alley so you could have the pins behind you and mm-hmm. yeah.
If you come to Waukesha, we got choices. Foxview Lanes, we can go to Sunset Bowl, we can go to Kuglage's, which is now New Berlin, but whatever. Can't go to my old stomping grounds, though, for Caro's here in Waukesha. It is now a condo.
Oh, see, now that's just sad. We are aware, Lynn from Econowalk and a couple of other folks, that there are some audio issues on the app right now. So we're going to work on that. Todd, the new number here, 855-75-CIVIC, is getting a workout today. And I hope for you as well.
Are you using it?
Yesterday we said, you know, actually, no, it was Monday. We just started the week. No, Monday or Tuesday, new week, new number. Let's go with it. Let's run with it. So
Now I got to decide because I've been using the old one because don't like change. And so I'm like, you know, people are already on the old one. And so it's like, do we want to really give out a new number here? So I've been using the old one.
Back in my day, it was 844-96 party. Hey!
and that
back
number,
in my day, it was sending a fax.
And that old number still works, but like any other change, it just tells me someday it's kind of like planned obsolescence with technology. Yeah. One day the number is just not going to work, so I may as well just go ahead and move along. But anyway, one of our texters said that we forgot Cheap Trick on the list of Wisconsin musicians, and Mr. Bach was quick to add with a heavy sigh.
Cheap Trick is not a Wisconsin band. They are originally and live in Rockford, Illinois.
But their lead singer is a Wisconsin native.
No. Yes. Okay. Doesn't count.
We're going to have to count. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. And let's see.
Cheap Trick once played at UW Richland back in the early 90s. And like UW Richland, Cheap Trick is now gone.
He's from Beloit. Okay. That's basically Illinois.
Oh, okay. Here we said the guy from Kenosha.
I'm not from, I'm from Waukesha.
Oh, you're from Waukesha. Okay. But you drive up every morning from Kenosha.
I do.
I feel like we're talking about, you know, gerrymandered maps and legislators who don't live in their district all over again. Mr. Alba, you had such a week. You were in so many places, you know, one step ahead of, you know, the law and covering the Birkebeiner so admirably, which has to feel really frustrating for those folks to have snow and cold today when they worked so hard last week to keep snow on the course. But what'd you think of it overall?
I was blown away by the spirit of folks, by the positivity. Catherine Lake, our program director, came up and did yeoman's work interviewing people on the street. And then you had Gray and Big G along with Jim Santel on Saturday. And to the person, we couldn't find anybody who is down and pouty and bitter. They're like, hey, this is what we got. We're making snow. We're going to make it work. And just the international flavor, people were still coming from around the state, around the country and the world. And there was just this great positivity. And I came away just buoyed and feeling a lot better.
Would you say that there was a good vibe that was going on there?
Good vibes. Great
going
vibe.
On? Okay. It's nice of somebody to keep some vibe music handy for me.
Yeah, very nice.
Greg, what's this about also finding a Birkebeiner song?
When we were doing the show, I just went to Google and thought, maybe there's a Birkebeiner song. And there not only is there a Birkebeiner song, like it's about the original Birkebeiner. It's called Birky Fever, and it's Birky pretty cool.
Beaver, Birky Fever.
Got me waiting for winter. Got me praying for snow. Birky Fever, I'm a true believer. Look, it's got Todd dancing.
I know. It's see, I was thinking it sounded a lot like Boogie Fever, which who did that? Was that the Tramps who did that song? No, the Silvers did Boogie Fever. So you could turn that into a disco.
The Silvers. Well.
The Silvers. What did I say?
I can't remember. You said the Tramps?
Yeah. I guessed the Tramps, and then up came the Google machine with the Silvers over here. So we're going to find multiple ways to give the Berkey some new songs. We got disco. We got bluegrass. We got it all. And they got Todd Alba there. So are you settled down for a while here? Or is there a one-man road crew?
I'm in Madison for a couple of days here. We got you. We got Trigvi Olson, both back from vacations this week. We're going to have a great show at noon, talk a little bit about the Michigan primary results. And Jeff Timmer yesterday, former chair for the Republican Party of Michigan and now the Lincoln Project, called it exactly right. This non-committed, quote-unquote, vote against Joe Biden amounted to a hill of beans. There is really no problem for Joe Biden. It is all Donald Trump, who lost more than 25% of his base. So we'll talk about that. And then on Friday, I'm going to be up at the old RC, WRCE, Richland Center, the hometown, and in person with Brady Ewing, former Badger and NFL player as well, amongst other guests. So we're going to hit the road just once this week.
Such a busy thing. If you don't have the Civic Media app yet, get it on your phone so you can get him by app or by podcast, Todd Alba, weekdays, noon to 2. Thank you, sir. Thanks again for filling in. I'll talk to you on your show later today.
Our pleasure. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, Mr. Bach, thank you so much. Appreciate it, as always. Have a wonderful day. You'll hear him later with Jane Matinair on air. And then just a little reminder here that, you know, Courier is, or Up North News, rather, is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com or on social media. Look for Up North News WI anywhere you want there. Follow me on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow Up North, or Pat Kreitlow through Twitter, or Threads, or Instagram, or TikTok. It is carpal tunnel day. I'm getting repetitive injuries from all of the things that I have to post on all of the platforms. But thank
Wait,
you.
Wait, you're on TikTok? Wow.
I am. I have to go make TikToks right now. They're due. Yes. Details to come on Todd's show. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.